Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The Omicron variant is sending new COVID infections in Massachusetts to record highs. But it turns out we are not the only residents of the Bay State who can catch the virus. COVID has been found in white-tailed deer across the country, and Massachusetts is now one of 41 states participating in a national effort to study the prevalence of the virus in deer. WBUR's Walter Wuthman reports on what that study might mean for us in our ongoing battle against the pandemic.
It's a crisp evening at the Mass Wildlife Field headquarters in Westboro. Deer and moose biologist Martin Feehan is standing face-to-face with a 160-pound dead buck splayed out on the loading dock.
First, we always will clean the nostril itself, and so we clean the nostril.
The deer died of a broken leg after it was apparently hit by a car in Needham. Feehan brought it back to headquarters for testing. He takes a long white nasal swab out of its package. Then he sticks it up the deer's nose.
We go all the way in, and the idea is to saturate as much of the swab as possible, just like every sampling that's done for humans.
Feehan pulls the swab out, covered in blood and mucus, and stores it in a vial. This COVID test is bound for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Wildlife Research Center in Colorado. Feehan will also send two samples of the deer's blood to test for antibodies. The set is one of over 500 samples Feehan has sent to the Colorado lab as part of a national effort to monitor the SARS-CoV-2 virus in white-tailed deer. Scientists know that deer can be infected by the virus that causes COVID-19. Now, they want to know how it happens and whether the deer might spread it back to us.
It's clear that whether it's transmitting amongst deer populations, whether they're contracting it somewhere in the environment, or any other mode they're getting it, it is transmitting regularly to deer.
Wildlife scientists are now trying to figure out just how widespread COVID is in wild deer populations across the country. The work began after a 2020 study found that white-tailed deer and a number of other animals could be vulnerable to infection by the novel coronavirus. Scientists at the National Wildlife Research Center analyzed historical samples and found COVID antibodies in 40% of them, indicating the deer had contracted the virus, most likely from humans, and recovered. A later study in Nature found active infection in nearly 36% of the deer tested.
The numbers in both of these studies are extraordinarily high. Everyone I've spoken to was extremely surprised at how high these numbers are.
That's Jeremy Lubin, a virologist at UMass Medical School. He says we should be concerned about the virus jumping between species.
So many of the viruses that we're concerned about, the really serious viruses that cause serious human disease, have come to humans from other animals.
The fear is that deer could become what's called a reservoir species, that even as we get a handle on the pandemic, the virus could be spreading, replicating, and mutating alongside us in our animal neighbors. A new, more dangerous form of the virus could then jump back to us.
If large numbers of deer are infected, that means the virus is spreading and replicating extensively among these animal populations. The virus then has more opportunity to mutate. That far and away, I would say, is the major concern.
An example of this played out recently with mink. Last year, mink at multiple fur farms in the Netherlands were diagnosed with the novel coronavirus. Workers at the farms then started getting sick. A study later published in Science found the virus had spilled over from people to mink, mutated, and then spilled back to people in a slightly different form. The Dutch government has since culled hundreds of thousands of mink to prevent further infections. UMass Medical School's Jeremy Lubin says there's no evidence of this type of transmission with deer in the U.S. But he says we should keep monitoring the virus in deer.
It has potential to turn into something that will be of great significance to all of us. Once the cat's out of the bag, there's not that much we can do to control it.
Back at Mass Wildlife Headquarters, deer biologist Martin Feehan prepares to store the dead buck in the game freezer for the night. He grabs its front legs and asks Mass Wildlife Chief Information Officer Marion Larson to grab its hind legs.
Most of our samples end up in the freezer where we store some of them for decades.
The deer will sit next to other important specimens, like moose heads to be tested for brainworm and federally protected bald eagles, all wrapped up in black garbage bags. Fionn and Larson drag the deer into the walk-in and close the door. This buck's nasal and blood samples will soon be en route to Colorado for testing, and the results of the national study are expected in the next few months. But that won't be the deer's only contribution to science. Later, Fionn will remove the deer's head, clean it, and use the skull and antlers to teach school kids about local wildlife. Because as the spread of the virus between us and deer shows, our lives and theirs are much more intertwined than we realize. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Walter Wuthman.